Sometimes we forget how frequently and how explicitly Jesus spoke about evil and sin. Yes, remember that he was and he is full of mercy. That's because we need his mercy. And Christ is so demanding of us, telling us directly how much we need to change our lives, we can really trust that he has our best welfare in mind. Remember, our Lord Jesus has our salvation in mind. We need to remember that a good friend tells us when we're in the wrong. Only wolves in sheep's clothing consoles the sinner in his sin. Only a wolf in shepherd's clothing would approve a sin and say it's okay. We know from what God has revealed to us that there are two basic kinds of sin. The first was original sin. This, sadly, was the rebellion of our first parents, Adam and Eve. And yes, Adam and Eve did exist. Their sin against God in the Garden of Eden, sadly, has wounded all of us. Sadly, they tried to achieve happiness, to be like gods, for which they had been created for on their own, in their pride, apart from a faithful relationship with God, which was also something that they had been created for. They were created to have an eternal, faithful relationship with God. Tragically, as a result, our original harmony that God had created into the universe was also broken. Because of this, the natural world became hostile and dangerous to mankind. We're seeing this pretty clearly over the last 15 or so months, right? Has the natural world become hostile to us in our current health crisis? But it's been like that for a long time, whether it's a pandemic or a hurricane or a tornado or a volcano or earthquake or whatever it may be. The human heart also sadly became divided between good desires, and yes, we have good desires, but also evil desires, an inclination to sin. And the fundamental complementarity between man and woman was disturbed. The breakdown of that original harmony is what we refer to when we say that we live in a fallen world. And our Lord Jesus, he reconciles us with our Heavenly Father by a sacrifice on the cross. This is what we call redemption. And as we allow his grace to work in our lives, we begin to experience true joy that God wants us to have. That foretaste of heaven, what it's like to be in heaven. Yet as long as we live in this fallen world, we'll have to struggle against the inheritance of original sin, which is where the second kind of sin, that is personal sin, comes into play. We have original sin by our first parents, Adam and Eve. And yes, each of us has our own personal sin. You know, when we follow Adam and Eve's example by rebelling against God, we commit personal sin, like the ones our Lord Jesus lists in today's gospel passage. Evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, and so forth. And since personal sin is the great enemy of our happiness, when we sin, we make ourselves unhappy. We deceive ourselves thinking that the sin is going to make us happy. And also, it robs us of our salvation. So it's worthwhile for us to reflect on what the Catholic Church teaches about personal sin. And since the popular culture, the modern culture that we live in, tends to belittle the reality of sin. So there are just two aspects of sin that I want to kind of talk about today. The first is this. The first important thing to remember about personal sin is that the strong currents of our modern world want to deny its existence. You know, the likes of Sigmund Freud and Karl Marx and Charles Darwin, for example, they actually tried to prove scientifically, through scientific evidence, against the possibility of personal sin. They claim to prove that feelings of guilt aren't really feelings of guilt. That a guilty conscience is actually a mental disorder, they would say. For example, Freud would attribute our sense of guilt to a combination of dangerously repressed psychic drives and artificial socially constructed behavioral norms. These theories and their relative spin-offs have reverberated through the 20th and the 21st century. And since they deny absolute fixed moral norms, they imply that our freedom really has no proper limits. And we see that in our culture today. There's no limits on what people are willing to do. And that they would say that we can and should do whatever we want to do, whatever we feel like doing. This leads to the madness that we see in our culture now. This view of the human person is so pervasive in the modern world, it leaves no room for any concept of sin, neither original sin, the rebellion of the humanity's first parents against their creator, nor personal sin, the extension of that rebellion into our individual decisions and actions. But the church has always taught that the real reason behind our feelings of guilt is precisely our sin. And this is the second important point for us to remember, is that when we sin, when we use our freedom selfishly, when we ignore or injure or demean ourselves or our brothers and sisters, our conscience bothers us. We feel guilty. And actually, this feeling of guilty is a good thing. The Catholic Church teaches this kind of guilt, the kind that stems from sin, from doing objectively wrong decisions and acts, is something that God actually built into our souls in order to warn us when we're in mortal danger. Just as our physical nervous system causes pain when our body is hurt or injured. Now, there's some people that have the inability to feel pain. They have to be extremely careful. Now, they can burn themselves easily, cut themselves, not even realize it. And so our conscience is designed to make us feel guilt when our moral, spiritual integrity is wounded. It's saying, we've hurt ourselves. We need to be healed in the sacrament of confession. The Catholic Church has always taught that this guilt is real because personal sin is real. And even in the face of our modern world that wants to deny this reality, we need to thank God for guilt because it will turn us back to His divine mercy to encounter His love and healing and forgiveness. And so we don't have to depend on complex, abstract philosophical arguments to understand why the church is right on this point. And so when God created us, when He created humanity, remember, He created us as an image and likeness. No other animal or plant shares that honor. Only the angels do. This means that we have self-awareness and free will. We're able to recognize good and evil and choose between them. And little things, like whether or not to cheat on a math quiz, and in big things as well, like whether or not we're going to use a quote-unquote dating app, a hookup app, and more likely, to cheat on one's spouse. God wants us to choose good because He wants us to live in freedom with Him. And He is pure goodness. God is pure love and pure good. So following is very important. Please pay attention. It's precisely because He wants our friendship. Our Lord God delights. He wants our friendship and not our slavery. So He leaves us free to make our own choices. I'm sure you've heard this saying before. I'm not quite sure where it comes from, but there's a great wisdom in this. The following is, the choice is always ours. We need to choose wisely. And so the company of Freud and others would have us believe that we are victims, that we really can't control ourselves, that we have no responsibility, no ability to resist temptation, no way to form and strengthen our character, to grow in virtue, no chance of becoming the best version of ourselves, to become saints. We are called to become saints. We are called to become the best version of ourselves. And so the church disagrees with Freud and company and our modern world. It realizes that choosing what is right, yes, is hard. And that's why God gives us so many help, like His very self in the Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Eucharist from this altar, making a good confession, a good prayer life, having good friends, avoiding the near occasion of sin, those places that would bring you to temptation. But it never insults us by saying that sin is just an illusion, that we really can't sin anyway. The church is too wise for such a diabolical cop-out to experience. and knows that it's possible for us to sin, it's also possible for us to love. Both are required, since both require freedom and responsibility. As Jesus renews his commitment to us in his Holy Mass, let's renew our commitment to him, thanking him for revealing to us the truth about the dangers of sin, but also the great blessing of his divine mercy and forgiveness in the sacrament of confession. Because our Lord Jesus is indeed our good shepherd, and he wants us to lead us into life everlasting. But we have to do our part. We have to choose wisely, and we have to follow after him.